numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, in case you missed it, Kelly with the outlandish claim that he invented the question mark. Not quite that outlandish. But we were talking about the Lakers in the first four games of this season having the worst span of any four games in any NBA season of any team in terms of their three-point shooting percentage, 22.3% from the three-point, from behind the arc this year. 22.3%. Kelly.
It's not good.
Kelly, very inspired by this, then said out loud here on the show, you give me 100 shots, I will make 23 of them. And I immediately max bet the under on that.
Yeah, everybody has.
So now you, and then the problem is, not the problem, but you also have a list of stipulations that you have that you require. See, this has some history. Matt Brown, Kelly and I, and Danielle, we used to do a little show called Primetime Action here. And Matt Brown, who'll be on the show a little later, by the way, Adam Burke will be here, Matt Brown, Mina Kimes later this hour. Matt Brown was going to join us to give us his football picks. Matt Brown got upset when all these place kickers in the NFL started missing these extra points and these chip shot field goals.
And is that how it started? I don't even remember how it started.
This is how this started. So he said, oh, this is no problem. And what was his? What were his terms?
We'll have to ask him again. Okay, so it was 43 yards, I believe.
With his right leg.
And then he would kick a NFL extra point left-footed.
Left-footed, which we said, no, you can't.
Correct.
And he slow played us through the history of primetime action and never happened.
Oh, man. He bought a football. He wanted an NFL regulation football that he bought. And then he made poor Wyatt Tomchak, great associate producer of this fine show now.
Yeah.
He made him take it to the UNLV sports management department or whatever.
Work the ball in.
Buff it and work the ball in or whatever so it's perfect.
You guys with your stipulations, because he's from Louisiana.
He bought shoes.
The climate had to be perfect.
Oh, yeah, we were going to do it this past summer.
Okay.
He needed the summer.
Here's the thing. We're going to give all you guys your stipulations, and we're going to have, like, a park day where we make these bets. We're going to sell tickets.
But that's what it was. Primetime action day in the park. It just never happened.
So we're going to do it. We're going to do a combined thing. Well, that's what Matt wants to do. But I'm going under on your...
Shoot, I've got a free throw one that...
You have 100
that
free throws.
That harkens back to the green zone days.
Violation. Yeah.
That so, Adam Candy and Matt Brown bet me on that one.
Oh, y'all making claims. We gotta make these bets come.
Hey, I got TMZ breaking news. Beep, 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 beep. Entertainment Tonight. Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen have reached a settlement ending their marriage, and divorce documents will be formally filed today, sources tell TMZ.
Well,
so you got that going on.
There it is.
If you care to know about that. Other NFL news to know this weekend. Russell Wilson will get the start for the Broncos. And Corey Davis officially ruled out for Week 8. Elijah Moore will play for the Jets.
Also, the Bengals and Ja'Marr Chase. This kind of came out of nowhere, didn't it?
Yeah, it sure did.
Ja'Marr Chase expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks because of a hip injury. Things I'd like to have known before I bet the Bengals.
Yeah, before I bet them rather heavily, Gil.
Kelly's like, before I pushed it all into the center of the table.
And then I had that moment yesterday where I'm like, all right, three and a half, go, 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 go. And I'm like, no, they're all gone now.
Fox Sports Ralph Vacciano also reporting the Giants have, quote, particular interest, unquote, in acquiring Jerry Jeudy before the NFL's November 1st trade deadline. So I'm going to ask Mina about Russell Wilson, about her Seahawks.
I'd really love to know how many guys on the Broncos are on the trading block right now, because we keep hearing reports, Hamler, Jeudy.
Yeah.
There's some names being thrown around, and I don't know. I think... We talked about that fewest wins in the NFL. Do I really think it's going to be the Broncos? Probably not, but there might be some value on that number.
One more probing question about the Broncos. The Russell Wilson knee kick thing on the airplane, right? You heard about that on the trip to London. Is he purposely trying to be dorky and stuff now? Like, has he repurposed this? Like, all right, I am a total dork, so let me just do the most ridiculous things possible to annoy everybody. Because it seems like that.
It kind of seems like that. Also,
no one can be this dorky.
I've been
right?
booking Eric Eager for shows for like 5 years. That was the funniest line he's ever said on the air.
Eric Eager, not known for his comedic takes. We can say that.
He somehow beats out the, what do you say? He somehow beats out the dorkiest Bronco in the history of the team, Tim Tebow. Yeah. I was like, wow, yeah, that is so true.
Got Eager going after you.
Justin Tucker took a shot at him last night. Did you see that video at all?
No, I didn't.
So I don't know what Ravens player was rolling on the team flight home, I guess. And they were like, hey, Justin, what are you doing? He's sitting down and it's like, I don't know, but Lamar's back there doing high knees through the plane.
Speaking of Tucker, you see this. I don't know if it happened last night, but the last couple Amazon games, was it Amazon? Might have been Monday night. Whatever, the primetime games. They've started interviewing kickers, like they interviewed Tucker one night. Who was it the other one? Who was hurt? And he couldn't. It was the kid. Dustin Hopkins was hurt, and they interviewed him after the game. Kicker interviews are a little different. They like got to be prepared for those. That's a little different kind of feel to them.
Was Tucker's bad last night?
That wasn't last night. I'm saying
Tucker's like a genius.
Tucker, like the last time Baltimore was on and they interviewed him, it was like this word salad dissertation of God knows what. I was like, okay, that's maybe move on.
All I know is if you're bored today, go watch Justin Tucker sing opera on YouTube and
really?
Be blown away.
Oh wow.
He is like a professional opera singer.
That dude's awesome. There was a New York Times Magazine article about his kicking technique and how he thinks. It's amazing. Amazing.
That's what, I'm surprised to hear you say that because he's known as a very, very intelligent human being.
I'm not saying he wasn't. He was fabulous. It was just like the networks just have to be ready for, oh, this didn't go the way. It wasn't the standard, yeah, you know, we just trying to win it this way, taking one game. And it was like this dissertation. They're like, okay, that's quite enough.
If I was an NFL kicker, I feel like I'd be ready for any interview. I'd be like, hey, I'm not doing anything. Yeah, like I'll talk to you.
Here are the bets that we have that we've already made. And these will reflect, by the way, my Circa Millions picks also. So Baltimore was one of them yesterday. And yes, I got the worst of it and got home. Baltimore -2 was a bet that I had. I also Baltimore as my two-team teaser leg, part of the one leg in the two-team teaser leg, along with the Jets, which kind of counters a little bit of what Dr. Bob was saying. They both could hit, I suppose, his Patriots straight up in my Jets teaser leg. But that's my teaser leg of the week, or my teaser play of the week, Ravens-Jets. The other ones that I have, the Bengals without Ja'Marr Chase now, -3. The Seahawks, again, the Ravens, by the way, the Ravens from last night, -2. So the Ravens, Seahawks, and Bengals were the three that I loved from guessing lines. And those were the very first three bets I made immediately after guessing lines, which is why I got the worst of the number for the Ravens. Seahawks -3, Bengals -3. I just think the Seahawks are, to use the Paul Carlin, I just think they're a better football team than the Giants. Apologies to the New York Giants and their one-loss record, but I just think they are. And again, Pete Carroll, best bet on the board in the coach of the year.
So I'm staying far away from that game. I feel like everybody's got a take on that game, one side or the other. I respect that both of these teams have surprised me a bit. I think both these guys are probably the top two actually coaches of the year so far.
The coach of the year bowl. Yeah.
Both teams playing impressive. You could absolutely say the Giants have played. They're going to level back out with some of these wins they're getting that probably they shouldn't be getting. But I'm staying away from this game, Gil. I got too much respect for these two coaches right now.
Got the Falcons, laid the points against the Panthers, who I do believe seriously is the worst team in football, even though they beat the Bucs 21-3 last week and crushed them. And then I got the commodes. I got the taco holders +3. Washington Commodores +3 against the Indianapolis Colts and Sam Ellinger, who, you know, I loved Sam Ellinger in college, loved betting on him, hated betting against him because he just tuck it under and run. Man, was he good at Texas. But he lived his whole life waiting to be the quarterback at the University of Texas. Are you going to go broke betting against quarterbacks playing in their very first game? You are not. I'm taking the Washington football team at +3. Those are the ones I've already made, and the Ravens coming off the heels of the Ravens win last night. What do you got?
Yeah, for me, a small card this week. I've got Vikings. I laid 3 with them. I actually bought the half point. I'm on the other side of that. I've heard a lot of people on the Cardinals this week. Well, you know I'm Captain Viking here leading the
Viking.
But coming off a bye, man, look, I don't know what we all want to say they're overrated. But they beat the teams that are put in front of them, and they keep doing it. At the Dolphins, I mean, it's the Bears, it's the Saints, it's the Lions. Eagles took them. They've got the Packers in week 1. Has it been a murderer's row? No, it hasn't. But I still like this team. I think we're getting too excited about the Cardinals. Cardinals right now. Yes, Hopkins coming back is huge. I'm not discounting that fact. They looked like a different team last Thursday night. But do they still look like a great team to me? No. Vikings off a bye week. I still like them here. About to half point, laying three with them. The two other bets I've got: Titans. I finally bet this yesterday. Money line. Still don't really know the status of Ryan Tannehill. I don't know that I really care because I've been sitting here bashing Ryan Tannehill for years now, basically, as a quarterback anyway. So, whatever. Money line, minus 130 against the Texans. And then, yeah, that Bengals minus three bet that I would have liked to bought off of a little bit with the 3.5 yesterday, but I missed that opportunity, Gil. So, we're rolling with it. Still think the Bengals still have a deep, talented wide receiving core. Is Ja'Marr Chase one of the best in the NFL, and him not being there going to hurt them? Of course it's going to hurt them, but they do have enough talented wide receivers that it might not matter in a game like this.
Might not matter in a game like this. Higgins and Boyd have been fabulous also. So those are the plays we have. Do you think you'll add any, or you think you're sticking with that this week?
I don't really. The other ones I've got circled. I will say the Giants. Seahawks game, a total on the game's interesting me a bit. I'm kind of liking the over on it. That's one I might end up firing on. I want to do something with the Falcons. Did you play the Falcons?
Yes, I did.
I don't know if I'm going to lay the points straight up, or I might tie them into a money line parlay or something like that. Might be a cross sport parlay with NBA or something. I've got them circled, though. I'll probably end up doing something with them this
week. Yeah, I took the Falcons. I took the favorite, or as Kevin Hart calls them, the overdog. That's
the
who
overdog,
I took.
Yeah. The other one, the Raiders. And I got to keep an eye on these injury reports, but the Saints are banged up again. I might take the Raiders on the road.
Did no one vet that commercial with the overdog thing, or was there a joke in there?
I don't know.
Okay.
Or what about the Tom Brady, like, Morgan Freeman one? We could go on forever. I don't get that one either.
Well, I thought those kids would be married forever. Well, said it wouldn't last. Guess it didn't. Coming back, Adam Burke on the World Series next. Numbers Game Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the house, and ladies and gentlemen, kind enough to roll into the studio. It's our own Adam Burke. How you doing, Adam?
Good. I'm good. I got to say, after watching again last night, I can't believe that Tom Brady gave up Giselle for this.
Especially
now it's going to be official today, apparently, according to Kelly's breaking news update from TMZ.
That's right.
Kelly is TMZ.
I'm starting an entertainment show here on VSiN. It's going to be hot.
That'd be great.
Says Paris Hilton.
You can't help but watch him and think to yourself, boy, would he like to have this back.
Yeah.
Like, if you really gave him truth serum, maybe not, maybe I'm wrong, but the thought did occur to me last night. I was like, if you gave him truth serum, would he like to have this whole season back, stay in retirement? He had to have at this point, right?
I would think so, right? I mean, he's two games under 500 for the first time in his career, right?
Yeah.
And it's only week eight. Like, this could just get significantly worse for the Buccaneers as we go forward.
It's such an uncomfortable, like, it's an uncomfortable thought, because I've thought about this the past couple weeks where it's like, think about dealing with that all offseason with your personal life, and then this guy is losing who's not used to losing. Like, it is, we talk about mental health and stuff, and dude's got money. I know there's 10 million reasons not to feel bad for Tom Brady, but, like, feel a little bad for the guy right now. This is a lot to go through.
Looks sad. Looks gaunt. You don't wish divorce on anybody. Yeah.
No. And you think about it, too. I mean, a lot of times, like, you think about baseball specifically, where it's such, you know, an individually driven sport. You don't know what anybody's going through. You have no idea what some of those players are going through. With Tom Brady, it's just exceptionally public. So not only does he have to deal with it behind the scenes, but also everything in front of this.
Yeah.
Imagine if everything, your day-to-day back and forth with her wife, imagine if that just got publicized, Adam.
No.
All the time.
Fortunately, I'm not that interesting, that rich, or that good-looking, so I don't have to worry about it.
Oh, you're all those things, Adam Burke.
Well,
those things.
I love the camera just zooming in on me now as I said that. Great sense of humor downstairs, everybody.
I like that we say that, Gil, but however we've...
That's our social clip for the day.
However, we put Will Hill's family life on blast today and Paul Spores yesterday.
Paul Spores is still the best with the AirPods in the movie theater.
And like, Paul, she knows.
She knows, Paul.
She doesn't know.
She knows.
She knew the whole time.
People on Twitter, she knows, Paul. You write an article every day here at VSiN.com. Share with us what it is about every single day.
Yeah, I write a few different things over at VSiN, and I'll actually be working on some conferences for our college basketball betting guide, which all the edits are due in next week, and then we'll have that guide released at the start of the season here. But I got a write-up for today for Game 1. I also did a series preview for the World Series between the Phillies and the Astros, so you can check that out over at VSiN.com. There's a sharp roundtable for college football that I do as well. A lot of stuff going on over at the website. A lot of good content. JVT doing his daily NBA stuff. Andy McNeil, friend of the show, of course, doing daily NHL. So a lot of great content over at the website for everybody to check out right now.
Andy McNeil was texting me to play some in-game hockey last night. Caps. And then the Caps just had this horrible, horrible play on defense where they just like basically gave up the puck. So that went by the wayside. But yes, all of our experts at VSiN.com, including the great Adam Burke. Let's start with the World Series. It is Game 1 tonight between the Phillies and the Astros. Nola against Verlander. It ends up being Nola. Minus 160 on the Astros. The series price is about minus 180-ish, but, you know, give or take a few. I always shop around for these. Where do you stand on the series in general? Where do you stand on Game 1?
Yeah, so for the series price, I mean, it would take a lot for Philadelphia to beat Houston. It would take a lot for anybody to beat Houston, I feel like, at this point in time. The Dodgers were the only team I felt like coming into the season that had a really good chance at doing it. And, of course, they're out. So, you know, I like the Astros. I laid the minus 180, minus 185 in that range. I still think that, you know, if you find minus 190, I think that's okay too. I don't see Philadelphia beating Houston four times. I just really, truly don't.
Yeah. I don't either. Now, would it shock me if they did? No, because it's baseball.
Right, yeah.
And they do have Nola and they do have Wheeler. And so you always, you know, you look good there if you have a 1-2 in any series in a postseason. But, yeah, you're not racing to bet anything specific here on either side because it's priced pretty accordingly.
No, and I mean, look, yeah. I played Astros in 4 and Astros in 5 against the Yankees, and obviously they were able to finish off that sweep. And I mean, look, the Mariners did, you know, take the Astros to the ropes. I mean, Seattle should have won Game 1. Game 3, of course, went 17 scoreless innings before the Astros won it. But it's just – every pitcher on this staff is basically above average. You know, their bullpen is very, very strong. And the thing that's really concerning here about this series for the Phillies is that the Astros, you know, I talked about this in the Astros-Yankees series. The Astros effectively have the same strikeout percentage as the Guardians, but they just hit for power. Mm-hmm. They put a ton of balls in play, and they're able to drive the baseball. And the Phillies, we've seen this, and they've overcome it in the playoffs here to this point. They're not a good defensive team. They have not been a good defensive team all year long. They've gotten pretty fortunate that their blunders in the field haven't come back to hurt them in the postseason. They also haven't faced a lineup like the Astros that combines hitting for power along with making a ton of contact. So I just think this is a pretty bad matchup for Philadelphia in the sense that, you know, they don't strike out batters at the same rate that the Astros do, and the Astros don't strike out at the same rate that the Phillies do, and those extra balls in play I think make all the difference here.
Do you agree with our sort of little sports talk radio moment that we had earlier, which is, you know, 6 consecutive championship series for the Astros. It's their 4th World Series appearance during that span, but only one title thus far. They're going for their 2nd in that span. Only one title, and that was a very tainted one. Do you agree with, if the Astros don't get it done here, their legacy is vastly different than if they do? Like, this is the fulcrum World Series for how history will view them.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, you know, we talk about this all the time. I know you and I are big on this talking point that the MLB playoffs are a tournament of variance, right? I mean, anything can happen in small sample sizes. Over 162 games, the best teams will be the best teams. Over 5 or 7 games, anything can happen. But with that being said, the Astros do have to win this one, I think, especially because, as you mentioned, the first one is kind of tainted. And look, other teams were doing other things. You know, it was just that the Astros got caught, right? They got caught because they were banging a trash can too loudly. So, you know, I mean, look, but this is a great team from a player development standpoint. What they've been able to do as they've lost guys and then just replaced them without missing a beat, it's almost like Alabama in college football, right? Yeah. Like, they're just recruiting they're developing 4 and 5 stars.
Well, they tanked to great success.
They did.
Remember how bad they were year after year after year?
Yeah. But it helped the Royals, too. I mean, they went to back-to-back World Series after just completely bottoming out.
But, I mean, think about all these guys they got, right? Correa and Bregman from tanking and converting those into other players. Yeah, it was just brilliant in the end. No MVP bet at all?
I have to say, I think it's kind of interesting that the second choice for the Astros is Jose Altuve, who's 3-for-32 in the postseason.
Yes, he is.
Jeremy Pena has been playing really, really well. He also plays a premier position there at shortstop. At 18-1, I don't really think that he's that bad of a choice here. And look, I mean, it's hard to take a guy like Verlander or Valdez because they might get one start each, right? I mean, Verlander's probably going to get two. Mm-hmm. I would think this series maybe goes five or more. But Valdez pitching game two, he may not throw again in this series. So I think you have to look at a position player here from the Astros side. From the Phillies side, look, if Aaron Nola goes out there and deals in both of his starts or Zach Wheeler does, they have a good chance. But Harper's the only guy consistently hitting for this team. Outside of Bryce Harper, the rest of the Phillies are hitting .211. So Harper is just on another planet right now. And if he keeps that up, then they have a shot. So I think if you want to take the Phillies, I think there's a very high likelihood that Bryce Harper is the MVP. So you might as well take the 7-1 as opposed to taking the +155, +160.
Think about what you just said there, which is like we just let it splash off us now. Besides Bryce Harper, they're hitting .211.
Yep.
Like 10 years ago, let's just say, not even 10, we'd be like, what?
Right.
.211? But, you know, we just sort of take that in stride now.
Rhys Hoskins is tied for the team lead with homers and five with Harper.
Yeah.
He has three hits otherwise.
That's amazing. All right, football, NFL, what do you got this week?
Well, I'm with you on the Falcons here. Look, credit to Carolina. I mean, a nice win for them over the Buccaneers. And as we've seen for a few weeks in a row now, the Bucs just, they're not on the same level. They're not the same team that they've been. I'm low-key impressed with the Falcons this year. I think Art Smith's doing a really, really good job with this offense. They're running the football effectively. They're top 15 in both pass and rush DVOA on offense. They're top 5 in rushing offense in DVOA. They're a pretty underrated team, I think. I know defensively they have some issues, but Carolina's not a good offense. You know, I mean, they got the running game going last week somehow without Christian McCaffrey, but that felt like an outlier performance to me. I do like the Falcons laying the 4 here in this one.
I hope people jumped on. The Falcons division bet was my favorite this week when we went through divisions, and the Bucks lost yesterday. Means that the Falcons are in the catbird seat.
I loved it, too. I've been on it since May or something like that, Gil.
What do you got, number?
Definitely
on
didn't think Deshaun Watson was going there or anything.
That's right.
They went 11-1 on them.
11-1.
Yeah. It's going to be the dumbest bet that ever wins, if it wins.
Is that the only one you have, Falcons?
I'm also on the Vikings here, -3.5.
Oh,
I agree with Kelly's take on that one. I mean, look, I mean, this Arizona defense gave up 500 yards last week. They had the two pick sixes, and it wasn't just garbage time. The Saints had 215 yards on their first three drives. So their game plan going in was really, really good. I would expect Minnesota to be very good coming off the bye here as well. So I laid the 3.5 with the Vikings, which is terrifying because they play a ton of close games. But I think that's the right side.
It is terrifying. All right, at Skating Tripods for Adam Burke. By the way, the origins of Skating Tripods?
Beer League hockey team that I played on. Defunct Beer League hockey team.
He said defunct.
Defunct.
Beer League hockey team, just in case you missed what he said right there. All right. Thank you, Adam. Great seeing you, man.
Absolutely.
You do the show, the Ohio show with Parlay after this?
Yes. Okay. Looking forward to it.
All right. We look forward to that. Coming back, Matt Brown's NFL Plays of the Day of the Week right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Don't forget, Visa Pro has its benefits, that's for sure. As you can tell right there on the screen, beautiful benefits like Pro Tools, Pro Picks at a Glance, Pro Tips, Pro Picks, daily recap of the top plays made by Visa show hosts and guests, Pro Tools like our exclusive betting splits, Pro Tips with actionable insights to up your betting game, deep dive daily betting reports on the NBA, NHL, and MLB playoffs, plus our upcoming college basketball, college bowl, and Super Bowl betting guides. Everything can be yours for the rest of football season for only $99. Sign up now. Give yourself an edge. VSiN.com/subscribe is where you go for the $99 midseason special today. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. This gentleman is most famous, of course, for his days on Primetime Action. Oh, what a program that was. Now, he and Stormy Bonatoni take it to the next level. The Final Countdown, each and every Monday through Friday here, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Storms and Mateo. Matt Brown, everybody. How you doing, Matt?
Doing well, guys. If you want that, if you do want that VEASAN Pro, it'll cost you $134.86 Canadian.
Just like old times.
Yeah.
Is it true that every time you convert to Canadian, Stormy, like her air, you know, bubble cloud above her head goes, oh dear God.
So, oh, it has just become a favorite. Yes, yeah, it's just it's a favorite for sure.
We passed that on. Stormy got that in the divorce.
Oh, the divorce! I can't believe it's too soon here, guys. I mean, you know, Tom Brady, Giselle. I mean, come on, guys. Let's give them their time, you know.
Okay, so let me, before we get to your picks, can we just talk about this last night? Because really, we started the show by talking about this. On guessing lines, I guessed Ravens -4.5, and the reason for that is because, and get this, Matt, I want to go deep dive here. I watch the Buccaneers play football.
Yeah.
They are not good in any way. And it's this, I called it motor. What I meant was it's like this muscle memory again, that it's Tom Brady and they just won a Super Bowl a minute ago. But anybody who has watched any of these games, and yes, it has gotten particularly bad the last couple weeks before last night, but all season they have not been good. What did you make of this supposed sharp money, or at least the move, this drastic move towards the Bucs yesterday? They got to 2.5-point favorites. What do you make of that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I said on the show, too, like, I didn't get it. I thought it was a little overreactionary to maybe the injury report that came out for the Ravens. But I mean, as soon as it got leaked by Schefter that those guys were going to play, I came in on the Ravens as well. You know, I mean, I thought that was clearly the side with all those guys playing. And then comes to find out the guys that I wanted to play and the reason I wanted to bet the Ravens got hurt and didn't play anyway, and they still won the game. And they still won the game. So if that tells you the state of the Bucs, I mean, like, I was waiting on three key guys to play. They all play. Two of them get re-injured, and it didn't even matter.
And, yeah, when Andrews went down, right, you were sort of like, well, they're going to have to do this without him. And like you said, they did it without Lamar Jackson's favorite safety blanket. All right. Okay, let's start with your sides this week. What do you have in pocket? What are you thinking of betting here?
Yeah, I mean, my favorite one, I think, this week is going to be Miami over Detroit. And look, I got the flat 3. It has moved to 3.5. I do understand that. I still think I would play it at 3.5. I mean, we know how bad this defense is for Detroit, and specifically against the pass. 31st DVOA, 32nd according to Pro Football Focus. If you look even further, 30th in success rate defense against the pass. I mean, they are really, really bad when it comes to this. And so I see a real big advantage here for a team that when Tua's under center, man, they're good. This offense is pretty efficient. And then you look at those two receivers going up against, again, a horrible, horrible secondary, a team that does not get any pressure on the quarterback, any of that stuff. And Tyreek Hill leads the NFL in 10-yard receptions, 10-plus yard receptions with 32, 20-plus yard receptions with 12. Then Jaylen Waddle leads the NFL in 30-plus yard receptions and 40-plus yard receptions. So you have the two receivers that lead the NFL in 10-plus, 20-plus, 30-plus, and 40-plus yard receptions going up against a Lions defense that, again, is dead last in the NFL in drop-back EPA per play. This seems like a smash spot for this Dolphins offense. And so, again, I know the 3 in there anymore. I'd probably still play it at 3.5. I can easily, I actually can see them winning this game by double digits.
Matt doesn't like sandwich spots. He doesn't like other kinds of spots, but he likes a smash spot when he sees one on a football schedule. It's like smash spot.
Smash spot. Dolphins.
All right, you and I are oppo on the Seahawks and the Giants. State your case, sir.
Yeah, so this is Prove It Bowl, right? I mean, like, this is two teams that everybody says is overachieving, and so it's Prove It time. I dug in a little bit further here, and one, the DK Metcalf thing is certainly concerning. If he's not going to be out there, this offense is far less efficient when he's not on the field than when he is. Secondly, Geno Smith, for as good as he's been, he's not been that great against the blitz and against pressure. And the Giants blitz more than any team in the NFL. And when Geno Smith is blitzed, he actually falls down to the 22nd best quarterback in the NFL. And versus pressure, the 17th. Now, that's not horrible by either standard, but certainly not this, like, top 5 level that he's been in, basically, you know, kind of the overall standings. And so he's going to see blitz and he's going to see pressure a lot here from the Giants. And is he going to be able to deal with it? He hasn't, at least so far this year. And the other thing is, look, man, credit where credit's due. Whether you think he's the long-term answer, whether you think he's a good NFL quarterback or not, present-day Daniel Jones is a good NFL quarterback. Present day Daniel Jones is an efficient NFL quarterback. Weeks 4 to 7, so the last 4 weeks when they're getting all these air quote fake wins, right? Daniel Jones is second in the NFL in EPA plus CPOE composite, which is completion percentage over expectation to go along with EPA. He's also number one in success rate. Yes, above Joe Burrow, above Patrick Mahomes, above Josh Allen. Number one in success rate over the last 4 weeks in the NFL as well. Give credit where credit's due. The guy's getting it done, and he's getting it done throwing it, and he's getting it done with his legs as well. And I actually just think they're the better team in this game, and I think that they're going to prove it. And if I'm getting the full field goal, I'll take the full field goal.
And you are getting the full field goal there, so you are taking it. Now, all three of us are on the Bengals. I'm guessing we all three made this before the Ja'Marr Chase news?
Yes, but yep. I'm actually not that worried about it.
I'm not either.
I mean, look, here's the thing. Against any other team, I'd be worried about it. But the Browns defense has been absolutely pathetic all year long. I think if they continue to do what they have been doing, guys, and listen, we said this last week when we were talking about why we were so on the Bengals last week. It's the same thing this week. They have moved exclusively to shotgun, has made this offense exponentially more efficient. And you look, okay, yes, Ja'Marr Chase isn't going to be out there, but when your two secondary receivers are T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins would be the number one on half the teams in the NFL. Tyler Boyd would easily be the number two on over half the teams in the NFL. And you're getting both of those guys stepping up to go along with, you know, the complementary pieces that they have, tight end position. Joe Mixon can catch balls out of the backfield as well. And by the way, the thing that we were worried about so much about the Bengals, right, guys? Joe Burrow's only been pressured on 19% of the plays over the last 3 weeks. That is the lowest rate in the NFL over that span. So they have figured something out. And yes, it is moving him into shotgun. So he's getting rid of the ball quicker. He's seeing the field better, I assume, as well. But lowest pressure rate in the league over the last 3 weeks as well. And that was the thing that we were so scared about with this Cincinnati team. And so if we're not worried about that anymore and they keep the status quo, if Zach Taylor tucks his tail between his legs and goes back to what they were doing at the beginning of the season because Ja'Marr Chase isn't out there, I don't like our bets near as much. But if he continues to do what has been working for them, then this is the key to success. And again, we talked about this last week with this defense. This defense is showing up every single week. It is the first team since 1950 to not allow a touchdown in the second half during the first 7 games of the season.
It's amazing.
It's crazy. I know we didn't think we were talking about how awesome this offense was going to be. We thought the defense would be a complimentary piece. Instead, it's been the showcase, whereas the offense has been the complimentary piece. And so I just think this is the team that's trending in the right direction. I know this is a horrible deal with Ja'Marr Chase, but I'm sure you guys looked at it as well. If there was any spot on the schedule for this to go down, this would be it, right? The bye week is in there. There's easy opponents. Like, this would be it for them to be able to survive this. Like, I think this is the team on the uptrend. I think they're probably the fourth or fifth best team in all the NFL right now.
All right. And that's Monday night, by the way, for those who were looking up there at the screen. Monday night, indeed, on that one. You have two more plays. We'll just list those because in the interest of time, I don't want to get into dissertations about them. But two more plays for Mateo on this. But no teasers. The two other plays, by the way. Patriots -2. You're aligned with Dr. Bob on that. And then the Vikings -3.5. You're aligned with Kelly and Adam Burke on that. No teasers. Is that a new policy or just this week?
No, I might get one in there. There's just a couple of games that are interesting to me that I'm waiting on some injury news that maybe could happen in this, you know, this week. Again, like, we look at some of these. Broncos seem like an obvious one. I know it would hurt you to pull the trigger and put it in there, but like, that one, you don't want to play it, but it seems like a fairly obvious one. And then you look a little bit further down and I go, how in the world could I not play even the Saints in a spot where the Raiders might not have Davante Adams. So, I mean, you know, there's some that might make it, but haven't yet. Haven't yet.
All
Maybe
right.
they won't. Who knows?
Matt, we got to run. Kelly's making outlandish three-point claims that he can do. Are we doing the field goal kicking three-point thing? Or are we doing this?
I love it. I love it. Kelly, I want to hear these. I'll text you guys offline about this.
This is going to be phenomenal. Phenomenal. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Matt Brown, everybody, with Stormy Monotone. The final countdown, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, today and every weekday here at VSiN. Mina Kimes on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. Want to do a little pro tip here, Kelly? You want to do it now? You want to do it later? What do you want to do?
Yeah, we'll do it at the end.
We'll do it at the end. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is our distinct pleasure to have on the show for the first time, and she is so great. She's on ESPN daily, it seems like 47 times a day, and she is fabulous in every one of those appearances. She is an ESPN NFL analyst. NFL Live is where you can see her, among other shows. It's Mina Kimes, everybody. How you doing, Mina?
Hi, I'm only on one show today. So
only one show today? Okay, I oversold one show, but we appreciate you making the time nonetheless. You can follow Mina on Twitter, at Mina Kimes, K-I-M-E-S. And I want to get to your favorite team, which is the Seattle Seahawks, which you have not been shy about voicing your support for over time. But let's just talk about Tom Brady for a second, Mina, and obviously news of the divorce coming down today. But just the performance on the field for him and the Buccaneers in general, obviously losing again last night. Is there anything in anything you see or anything in your analysis that leads you to believe that this is easily correctable for the Buccaneers?
No, sorry to say, no, not easily correctable, largely because it's kind of a litany of issues with this offense. You know, we've been on it all year long and it just hasn't gotten better. It starts with the run game, which has been one of the most ineffective in football. You saw a few streaks last night, notably the first drive where it looked a little bit improved, but I think it's a combination of the blocking and then, of course, Leonard Fournette, I think, not really getting the same juice that he used to. And then beyond that, so often they run on early downs and put themselves behind the eight ball. And then when Tom Brady drops back to pass, you know, he's getting the ball out super quickly, which has been the case for a couple years now. That's not terribly new. But something that struck me is when it's anything outside a quick game, so over 2.5 seconds, he's really hurrying his throws. You know, at times he'll just drop dimes the way he used to. I think of the throw to Mike Evans in like triple coverage in the first half was perfectly placed. But for every dime, there's a, you know, an underthrown ball or a hurried pass that isn't really allowed time for the concept to develop. And I think that's something that's also hurting the Bucs offense, particularly on third down.
To your Seahawks, who played the Giants this week, 3-point favorites. Now, I know, Mina, that you don't necessarily view things through a betting lens like we do here at VSiN, but I just want to let you know the Seahawks, some different markets. They're 5-1, 5-1 odds to win the NFC West. They currently have a half game lead over the Rams, full game lead over the Niners and the Cardinals. They also, if you go to the Coach of the Year market, Pete Carroll's 20-1. And I'm just curious how you feel about your Seahawks now in the post Russell Wilson era. Geno's been phenomenal. Where do you stand on those types of bets? Kind of juicy, huh?
Yeah, you know, Coach of the Year is an interesting one, right? Because I think, you know, it's always a little bit of a narrative award, and it's about expectations and improvement. Is a lot of times it goes to a coach where the roster's improved. But I think in Seattle's case, the reason you're probably seeing some movement there is just because this team has outperformed expectations so much. You know, everyone kind of anticipated this would be a rebuilding year. They were projected to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. And the fact that they look not only competent, but competitive, I think has taken a lot of people by surprise. I would say for Pete Carroll in particular, for me to feel confident about his name being in that sort of competition, you'd want to see the defense continue the improvement, which they have over the last couple of weeks, given that that is his calling card. You know, the first few weeks of the season, they playing like one of the worst units in the NFL, but it's a very young group with a lot of young corners and a new scheme under new defensive coordinator Clint Hurt. And I think they're sort of coming into their own, but you're going to want to see that continue and for them to be at least average over the rest of the season.
The Broncos are in London. They're taking on the Jaguars, and Russell Wilson will be playing. Is there anything that you noticed even when, you know, post-injury, when he had the, when he jammed his finger and he came back, Russell Wilson, when he was still in a Seahawks uniform and he wasn't performing well? And a lot of us sort of passed that off as, well, it's the injury. Maybe it's, you know, sort of a slow rebound from that. Was there anything endemic in his numbers at that point where you're like, no, actually, this just might be the new Russell Wilson?
Yeah, I do think you saw some signs of decline in Russell's last 2 years in Seattle, which kind of suggested why the Seahawks are willing to move on. You know, when the trade happened, I think something that was kind of maybe not misunderstood or just not mentioned that much at the time was that part of the reason Seattle, I believe, wanted to do the trade was that not necessarily just that they didn't want Russell Wilson to be their quarterback, but that they didn't want to give him the contract extension, which he, of course, got from Denver due to the timing of it all, just because of how his game was changing as he got a little bit older. And along those lines, I think something that you saw, you know, around 2.5 years ago or so, when defenses started playing those two high shells against Seattle, he struggled a bit because they were taking away the deep ball, and Wilson's always struggled a little bit to throw over the middle of the field, particularly in the short and intermediate areas, which tend to be open against those looks. And so he would kind of force the ball downfield, and you didn't see him checking down as much as probably he should have. And I think part of the reason why those struggles happened was, you know, his, in the past, he's kind of always been that quarterback, but it's been negated by the fact that he's been able to use his legs to extend and make explosive plays and scramble. And you know, the last 2 years, he just hasn't been running the way he used to, whether it's on design runs, scrambles, or just running to keep his eyes downfield and extend plays. And I think that was something that Seattle probably saw continuing, and I think we certainly see continue in Denver.
Talking to Mina Kimes from ESPN, who's kind enough to join us this morning. Also, Mina Kimes' show featuring Lenny, her dog, with Dominique Foxworth. Also, just a great listen, getting granular on the NFL. And let me just go granular macro here. As you sort of delve into this on a week-to-week basis, and we sort of, as we get into the crux of Week 8, what's a team that you feel people aren't understanding, either to the good or to the bad, Mina, where you're like, no, actually, what's bubbling under here is something that on the surface, the average fan that just watches the ball go up and down the field doesn't really recognize. And it might be a team bubbling under, or maybe a team that's sort of primed for a downfall here.
Oh, gosh, primed for a downfall. You know, we talked a little bit on my podcast this week about the Vikings and the Jets. The Vikings are 5-1, but, you know, digging into it, I felt like, I don't know about this 5-1 record. Now, there's a lot of that going around the NFL these days. Obviously, you know, the Giants are 6-1, but the Giants, I think, have gotten a lot more attention for their wins in close games, and people kind of have their arms around who they are in terms of their identity on offense. Whereas I feel like the Vikings have actually underperformed. You know, something that really struck me was just the offense being less explosive than it was last year. And, you know, some of that has to do with the scheme, but I've been surprised by how little success they've had moving the ball downfield in terms of the way defenses are playing Justin Jefferson too. So that's a team where I think the record maybe doesn't quite reflect the underlying metrics. And I'll also add the defense has not been playing super well either.
And when you just sort of project forward deep down the road, like, so when we do power rankings on a weekly basis, no surprise, it's Buffalo, it's Kansas City, it's Philadelphia, whatever order one might have those top three. Sort of been asking people randomly, who's your number four? Who would be your number four at this point?
Well, my number four would be the Dallas Cowboys, just because I think that they have one of the, you know, three or four best defenses in the NFL. And I think as Dak Prescott gets more comfortable, this offense is going to be more explosive than they've been. You know, I'll be curious to see if they add any pieces, maybe a wide receiver around the trade deadline. But, you know, what I like about them is they have something that is special, which is their pass rush. You know, I would also have considered the Bengals kind of rising into that tier, but the loss of Ja'Marr Chase probably changes that formula. And then I would say another team to keep your eye on is the Baltimore Ravens, of course, winning last night, because that's another team where I think they're, you know, they have the special attributes. They have a young defense and a new scheme. And some also, you know, young players on that passing attack who really contributed last night. I could see them being better at the end of the year than they are now.
Mina, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. I know your schedule's busy. It might not be as busy today as other days, but thank you for making the time. We appreciate it.
No problem. Bye, guys.
Mina Kimes, everybody, from ESPN. How about that, Kelly? Mina making some time for us.
Great stuff.
We got to slip in a pro tip. Otherwise, we'd still be talking to her. But we got to slip in the pro tip of the hour, which really is oftentimes stated on the show. But Adam Burke, we were just talking to him about the World Series, sort of jogged this in our heads, which is, listen, sometimes the best bets are the bets not made. I know, you want to picks every day, tennis, baseball, football, whatever it is, but sometimes the best thing is your discretion. Remember, the book's biggest advantage is they have to post a number on everything. Your biggest advantage as a bettor is you get to pick and choose. So just because it's the World Series doesn't mean you have to make a bet. If you have conviction, that's another thing. But if you don't, hey, it's okay to steer clear. That's your VSiN Pro Tip of the Hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Good luck with all your bets this weekend. The Lombardi Line is next from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.